Hey, everybody. Today on the Charlie Kirk Show, Blake Masters for Senate. Our enthusiastic endorsement in the great state of Arizona. We got to get Blake Masters across the finish line, everybody. If you live in Arizona, vote for Blake Masters. If you trust me and you listen to this program, I could tell you why to vote for Blake Masters. And I'm going to throughout the episode, but just trust me. He's the man. Spent a lot of time with him before. He believes what we believe. He's a good American. Get behind Blake Masters for Senate in Arizona. Across the nation, learn about Blake Masters. Listen to this episode. Hear about how he is going to be a U.S. Senator. We got to get behind him. BlakeMastersForSenate.com. Email me your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com. And we'd love to see you at our Student Action Summit in Tampa, Florida. Our Turning Point USA Student Action Summit. Amazing speakers, Gutfeld, Josh Hawley, Ted Cruz, Laura Ingraham, Donald Trump Jr. And we also have, brought to you by Turning Point Action, Donald Trump and Ron DeSantis. TPUSA.com/SAS. That is TPUSA.com/SAS. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by the Loan Experts I Trust, Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage at andrewandtodd.com. I changed my shirt. It is still red, but it says Blake Masters for Senate. Now, Blake, you're going to have to tell me this whole kind of design flow you got for your campaign. I've never seen a campaign like it ever.
Yeah, well, you know, we're just trying to be bold and innovative. I guess it's very simple, though. So it's like, why don't more people just do that? Like, obviously, the whole point of a campaign shirt is to be a walking billboard. But everybody tries to make it cute. And the consultants will tell you if you don't have like a silhouette of Arizona with a nice sun setting behind the state, well, you're going to lose. And it's like, no, actually, just advertise the message. Blake Masters for Senate.
There you go.
It's arresting.
I've known you for a while, Blake. And, you know, we at first said, okay, we're not sure what we're going to do in the Senate race. We were going to kind of stay out. But honestly, part of the reason I endorsed you is just the unbelievably unfair attacks against you. I thought just, you know, kind of let the whole process play out. But I can't stand slander. Yeah. And it was just that really motivated me. I don't want to spend too much time on that. But that was actually for me one of the motivating factors. Like, I got to do what I can to try to, get the word out. So tell our audience about yourself. You've been on our show before. You're getting a lot of national headlines. And even more so, you're in the polls. Trump endorsed you. But tell us about your background and why you're running.
Yeah, I mean, I grew up in Arizona. Moved to Tucson when I was four. And I had a great childhood in Arizona. I love this state. I went to California for a few years, which my opponents are beating me up for. But I went to Stanford Law School.
I have to interrupt you. Half their voting base had lived in California at some point.
Yeah, everybody's from somewhere else. But I'm actually from Arizona. And so I spent a few years in California, Stanford Law School, worked in Silicon Valley, linked up with Peter Thiel, who I'm sure we'll talk about. But I ran his investment firm, investing in startups, was involved in the Trump 2016 campaign. But I moved back to Tucson in 2017, 2018, and I was, you know, alarmed at what I saw. The state had changed. It became much more of a swing state. I still think it's red. It's more red than
red-ish.
Blue, certainly red-ish. Yeah. But we got our work cut out for us, right? And then to lose both Senate seats, November 2018, November 2020, I had a front row seat to that. What a travesty. Those Senate seats had been ruby red for my whole life, basically.
It was the same candidate that lost it both times.
In retrospect, Martha McSally certainly was not the right candidate.
Sweet
Some
woman.
Of us thought that at the time. Look, she's perfect on paper, couldn't really land it. And so as soon as Mark Kelly was sworn in, like, I knew he was going to be bad. He's actually been worse than I thought. Yep. I knew Biden-Harris was going to be a disaster, and they've been that, but it's been even worse, and they've gotten things so messed up so much faster than I would have thought.
You have three kids?
Three kids, three boys. It's a crazy household, but 8, 6, and 2.
Wow.
And I'm really running. I mean, as cliche as it sounds, right? But like 30 years from now, those boys will be my age. And what kind of country are they on track to be living in?
If
we have a country, it won't be recognizable. And we gotta put a stop to that right now.
Yeah. And so this is one of the reasons why I'm enthusiastically behind you is, you know, I ask all these candidates stuff. Again, they're sweet people. There's qualified people, whatever. But they can't answer the most operative question, which is, what time is it?
Yeah.
And if they don't answer it with this almost over urgent matter, then I don't have time for you, honestly. And you said something very interesting in a piece recently, Martin Jones piece. No. It was great. You said we can't beat the progressives. Go something about speed limit and progressives.
Quote? It was the journalist actually messed it up. But the quote was conservatism can't just be progressivism going the speed limit.
Yes, that's exactly
too many Republicans
right.
just want to play defense, right? You resist the left. Okay, good. But the left just wins if all you ever do is play defense.
That's exactly
we need to play
right.
offense. And conservatism has to be a bold, positive vision for the future.
Yes, and then be very clear about what we're trying to conserve, right?
Yes.
So it's not just about low taxes and a hyper-corporate society. It's about we're trying to preserve fair and free elections, election integrity, which you've talked openly about. We're trying to preserve the family, which you said in your opening advertisement that went viral. We'll talk about
just
that.
The left hates, yeah.
Right? We're trying to preserve our country to not be invaded from a cartel that is trafficking and smuggling people into our country. We're trying to preserve life. So part of conservatism is recognizing what is true and good and beautiful and then willing to do whatever is necessary. As the stakes get higher, then our action will get higher to preserve those things.
That's right. Well said. But the left, man, I mean, everything you just said is nails on chalkboard to the progressive left. You're talking about truth and justice and beauty, right?
Objective and families.
Good. Wow. How about, but they don't like these things. They don't like the institution of the family. You know, it's why they're doing everything they can in the schools to push an ideology that pulls families apart, right? That alienates children from their parents. This is all part of a program. The left will call you a conspiracy theorist for saying this stuff, but it's like, look around. Everything they touch is on fire. And I'm tired of weak-willed conservatives that want to put the blinders on. And focus only on tax rates. And it's like, yeah, I love low taxes.
Okay? I do too. They're
I'll great. Never Terrific. Vote for higher taxes as a senator. But if we're just the party of low taxes, we'll get crushed.
Yes.
And then you don't even have low taxes because you won't even have a country.
And Arizona is interesting because this has been a state where establishment Republicans have really reigned here for quite a while. So you have McCain, and I'm not going to spend time going after McCain, but not a fan, obviously. Then Jeff Flake, who ran as a strong conservative and became anything but that. You have the current Republican establishment at the state capitol. And it's interesting, Blake, the more that the Republican establishment has moved to the middle here, the bluer the state has become. Now, they'll say it's actually not one because of the other. But I think that if you don't stand for anything, then what's going to prevent your voters from going gravitationally, the gravitational pull to go to the left?
That's right. I think for, you know, at least one or two decades here in Arizona, Republicans have become complacent. And you take it for granted. Oh, it's a red state. We don't really have to think about it. Yeah, let Jeff Flake run for Senate. Who cares, right? Well, oops. You know, you get him in office.
He turned into worse than Mitt Romney.
He's a disaster. Yeah, he's literally worse than Mitt Romney. And you got to hold the line. And conservatives have gotten complacent and they just want to play defense. And I'm tired of that.
So you're leading in the polls. Obviously, you're going to go right to the finish line.
Yes.
You're doing well. What is the reaction from Arizona voters in this primary?
People have been extremely receptive, you know, and I'm grateful that the barrage of attack ads that
it's unbelievable.
They're hitting me with hasn't worked. Actually, I think it's galvanized some support.
Yeah, I agree.
I expected to get hit from the left, of course, like the New York Times. They have to lie about me. Like the Democrats know that they've failed. I truly believe that 88% of people say that we're on the wrong track. That's a lot of Democrats acknowledge that, but they're stuck telling lies, right? So of course the left is going to lie about me. It's just a little bit stranger to hear so-called Republican, opponents of mine borrow those same lies and then amplify them.
Yeah, it's just acts of desperation.
It's desperate.
Though.
It's desperate. Republicans should not do that to each other.
Yeah, and so, but you're in some ways, you're a candidate that they can't quite pin down, right? So you're very disciplined, super high IQ, you work hard, family, and you also run on the issues that actually matter because you actually believe in those things.
Yeah.
It's not just some sort of workshopped consultant thing. Like, oh, like, what are we going to do? Like, I had dinner with you early on before you decided if you were going to run or not. And I remember asking, what are you going to run? And you're like, I'm going to run on what I believe.
Right.
I was like, wow, that's really weird. Never heard that before.
But people don't do that. People don't do that. People, you know, you get to the end of a long business career and you're like, dadgummit, I want to give back to my... And so you hire a consultant, you know, like Axiom from DC, and they write the script and you stay on message and you say everything, you know, they give you the bullet points. And it's just, we've seen that before. It's that kind of Republican politician who's basically allowed the present situation to come to fruition. And no, I had this theory of the case where if I just get out and speak from the heart and with boldness and clarity on the issues that matter... I bet that's going to be popular, and I'm happy to report that it is.
How old are you?
35.
So you'd be one of the youngest senators ever.
That's right, I think.
Might be the youngest. Because you have to be...
Not ever, 30.
Yeah, 30.
I mean, Joe Biden is the bad counterexample, right?
Oh, that's right.
He was younger than me when he was elected in the early 70s, stays for 50 years. I promise that's not going to happen okay. In my case.
Stay
but,
for 50 years.
I'll be the youngest Republican senator for sure.
Okay. Yeah, Tom Cotton was pretty young. He was like 37 or 38
yep.
when he got elected.
Yep.
But that's a generational thing. I want to talk to you about that. Not that there's anything wrong with old. There's some phenomenal older senators, and there's some terrible younger representatives. So age is not necessarily determinant
that's right.
on how good. I mean, AOC is a disaster, right?
Yeah.
But I think there is something to be said, though, that the younger energy in the conservative movement, I think, is really starting to get it.
That's right.
And I also think some older voters are also seeing that as well, where they're like, wow, you're going to carry the banner for the next 20 or 30 years. You're invested in this in a very profound way.
Right. Yeah, I think the long time horizons, right? That's really interesting to people. There's something quite interesting and radical about a young person who's conservative, because again, you basically have to be worrying about what kind of country are
yes.
our kids and our grandkids in like 50 or 60 years. Like, what's going to be? And the normal baby boomer conservative who just hires a consultant to tell him what to say, you know, it's just a very different program.
Yes.
So it's intriguing, but it's working, and I'm going to win this thing.
Look, gathering around the table, it's been a catalyst for change since the beginning of time. Meals matter. Let me say that again. Meals matter. And who you're eating with really matters, and what you're eating also matters. Look, it starts with a table and time together. And Good Ranchers, a beautiful company, their mission is to bring people to the table. And we want people to know that. They want to make those moments around the table easy and accessible, and delicious is what they do. It's what they deliver in every box. Good Ranchers is giving you $30 off your order plus free shipping. Shipping is a huge cost that they are covering for every customer, so that value can be emphasized with $30 off their order. So look, we've had some huge wins for truth in the American family. It feels like the pendulum might be swinging back in the right direction. Good Ranchers delivers a 100% American meat experience to your door. They guarantee you the meat that is born, raised, and harvested here in the United States, so you know where it comes from and who you are supporting. You're already buying meat, so why not buy it in a way that strengthens the American farm? Your country and your taste buds will thank you. Not only is it a great cause, it's a truly great product. I've personally tried it and love it. The T-bones, burgers, ribeyes, and even the chicken, it's all some of the best I've had. And I mean it. They age every cut to perfection so that you can enjoy a true steakhouse experience every single time. It's not like one delivery is great and the next one isn't. Every box is superior quality, flavor, and value. I love the folks at Good Ranchers. In fact, when they send us Good Ranchers here at our office, it is Bedlam who gets to take Good Ranchers home. And it tastes so good. They support us, what we do. So go check them out. Support those who support us. Make sure to use promo code Charlie. That's promo code Charlie to get $30 off your order. Plus, get free express shipping. You can make gatherings at the table common again with Good Ranchers. Take advantage of this offer before it's gone. I love Good Ranchers. You guys should too. They're great supporters of this show. So feed your family, support Americans, and honestly, enough of this synthetic fake meat. Get real meat. Boost the testosterone levels of your children. Go to goodranchers.com. That's goodranchers.com, promo code Charlie. Goodranchers.com, promo code Charlie. So let's talk about Mark Kelly. Mark Kelly is the incumbent senator here in Arizona. You don't really hear much from him unless it's a beautifully produced television advertisement that makes himself seem infinitely more moderate than he actually is.
That's right. He's usually pretty good at this Joe Biden hide in a basement 2020 strategy, right? Can't get in trouble if you never emerge and actually talk
to voters.
He goes
nowhere.
He doesn't do anything except, yeah, occasionally he'll issue a press release or a carefully scripted video in which he pretends to be moderate, right? I'm holding Joe Biden accountable. I'm concerned about this inflation. And it's like, thanks a lot, Mark, but you're voting for the trillions in spending that caused the inflation.
Right.
He voted to send $40 billion, of course, to Ukraine.
With no oversight.
With no oversight. Nope. And he can't spare a penny for the border.
No.
Right? The southern border.
But though, then he writes, he goes to Yuma and he has those things like, I'm looking into the border thing.
Oh, yeah. He's investigating. He's concerned. Mark Kelly is just perpetually concerned about all the problems that he's voting to cause.
You know, I think it's an interesting line of attack here, and it would be something that we, you know, could talk about and think about publicly is, wait, Mark Kelly, if you were so into the consensus thing, why didn't you do what Sinema did? Why didn't you support protecting the filibuster? Because you're actually not as moderate as you say.
Right.
I think that actually might, I don't know, thinking out loud.
No, I agree. It's very interesting to exploit that daylight, right, between Sinema and Kelly.
Because, and again, all you might be doing is creating a pro cinema ad in the future.
Well, look, I'm qualified in my praise with cinema. A lot of Republicans want to praise her too much, and I'm like, whoa, slow down. She's still left wing. She votes the wrong way, like 95%
No, for
of the time,
sure.
Right?
I just think that might be an interesting attack vector.
Credit where it's due, actually. Yeah. It is because of cinema and it is because of Manchin that we still have a chance here. Like, shame on conservatives for letting it get to the point where two hopefully independent-minded Democrats have all the power. But because they chose to protect the filibuster, we still have a chance here. Mark Kelly would wipe away the filibuster.
That's the attack vector, right? Like, hold on. Then why didn't you partner with your counterpart?
That's right.
Kyrsten Sinema, you wouldn't even do that. And he also voted for Ketanji Brown Jackson.
Yep.
Right? He voted for all the worst people.
But I know what one of the craziest votes Mark Kelly's taken is.
Tell me.
4 weeks ago, the whole Democrat caucus in the Senate, except Manchin, but all the others voted to, they said they were codifying Roe v. Wade. Actually, their pro-abortion bill was so much more radical, it would have legalized abortion nationwide up until the moment of birth. Up until the moment of birth.
That dog's not going to hunt in Arizona.
That's delivery table execution. Like 95% of Arizonans know, and shame on the other 5%. 95% of people know.
They live in Flagstaff, in Tucson.
That's murder. And Mark Kelly can't articulate any single restriction on that radical pro-abortion regime. So he's out of step with Arizona. And that is just extreme.
Yeah, it's a very interesting thing. And I know our national audience is interested in this because they say, Charlie, what races are really going to, you know, make the difference? I mean, I'm telling you right now, guys, if for any trust that I've built with you over the last couple of years and all the traveling I've done, I went all in on really two candidates, J.D. Vance and Blake Masters. I've known them both. I've known J.D. for a while. And they all think and view the world the same way we do, right? Great Reset's a major threat, you know, internationalist, globalism, open borders, all this stuff. But it's interesting because the way that the Democrats think they can hold on to power here in Arizona is this mass masquerading of voters are so stupid that they actually don't look at voting records. And if you spend $35 million, and by the way, he's going to raise more on top of that, right?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And he'll probably spend down to zero because this is a wavier. How do you even spend $35 million in a Phoenix media market? Is he just buying every single slot from now till November?
Yep, and you'll see three or four Mark Kelly ads in a row, right? They'll just send 20 pieces of mail out to every voter. And they'll call me all the worst things, right? It's just going to be character assassination. That's what they'll try because they don't have issues to run on. Because the border's wide open and your kid's school is trying to, you know, teach them to be trans. And inflation, they say it's 9.1%. Of course, if that's what they admit, like imagine what the real number is. I think in the general Phoenix metro, inflation is probably between 20 and 30%. So like everything the Democrats have touched is failing. But Mark Kelly's going to put $40 million on TV to try to convince people I'm some evil guy. When I'm like, nope, I just actually want $2 gas and a real border. And, you know,
easier to have children.
Let's a society where you can actually get married and have kids and maybe even raise them on one single income. Like, what about that?
Yeah. So another issue I want to ask you about here, which is what's your thoughts on BlackRock and these big companies coming in and buying up all of our homes here in Arizona?
I'm pretty worried about it. You know, the pushback is always, oh, these, you know, large multi-trillion dollar asset managers own such a small fraction of the housing
stock. Is that right?
Well, so far, but you know, now they've coming out with this investment strategy. Like they tell us what their plan is. Their plan is to acquire all these assets and make a nation of renters. And so I think right now is the time to take that seriously, get out ahead of it before they own 20% of the U.S. housing stock.
Yeah, I mean, that's really smart. I know this in Scottsdale. I know a lot of our employees at Turning Point USA, they are getting outbid by cash offers on astronomical valuations of homes. And again, you don't always know who the home is going to, but these are closeted LLCs going to cash offers for $400,000 to $600,000 homes. Who do you think is buying those?
Could be China, could be BlackRock.
Well, that's
but we
got
to investigate and put a stop to it.
So you have an LLC paying with cash going above offer, probably BlackRock or China. Look, as you know, our friend Mike Lindell has amazing passion and especially has a passion to help everyone get the best sleep of their life. He didn't stop by simply creating the best pillow. Now Mike has done it again by introducing My Slippers. For a limited time, you'll save $90 on a pair of My Slippers. This blowout sale of the year won't last, so order now. Mike has taken over 2 years to develop this. The My Slippers are designed to wear indoors, out all day long. Made with My Pillow foam and impact gel to help prevent fatigue. Made with quality leather suede. Call 800-875-0425 or click on promo code Kirk or MyPillow.com. Click on the radio listener square and use promo code Kirk. This offer will not last long, so order now with promo code Kirk at MyPillow.com, promo code Kirk at MyPillow.com. Blake, why is it that everyone get? What is this? I'm in Illinois. We don't even have the mail-in balloting. At least when I grew up, wasn't as bad as this.
Think it would work in theory in a high trust society. Maybe we used to have that, but now it, you know, nobody trusts it. And I don't know. I just saw on Twitter like people check the box to remove themselves from the early mail-in voting system, and Maricopa County Recorder's Office is still sending them ballots.
Stephen Richer.
Yeah, what's going on?
That's a good
question.
There's
always an excuse. There's always an excuse for why. No, it's actually fine. Actually, Charlie, it's the most
technical
perfect
and clerical error, right? Yeah. So I want to play some tape here that we could kind of just riff off of. But I do want to ask you first, before going to the tape, about the border. Where does the border rank on most important issues of voters you talk about?
It's chief among the top, right? Maybe along co-equal with election integrity and inflation. But man, we are under an invasion. And again, people get upset and they call you racist when you say that. And it's like, nope, sorry, we have an open border right now. And it's really crazy. It's 300,000 illegals coming through every single month. We'll just do the math. It's 3.6 million a year. And over 4 years of Biden-Harris, that's like 14 million illegals. It's an invasion.
And they're having thousands coming across the Yuma crossing every single day.
Yeah. Yeah. Yuma's getting hardest hit in Arizona. And, you know, I find it unforgivable. I've taken the bold stance. I actually think it's just common sense. It's not even that bold. That Mayorkas needs to be impeached, ideally removed from office. Biden needs to be impeached, ideally removed from office, just for this dereliction of duty at the southern
border. Exactly right.
We won't have the votes to remove him. But man, I hope the House impeaches him, because he's just failed at doing his duty to protect this country.
So I want to play one of your advertisements you have running on TV right now. Let's play Cut 236.
Blake Masters is an incredible person, a very smart guy, and an America First fighter. I endorse Blake because he will protect our border, he stands for life, and he's strong on election fraud. Frankly, he's strong on everything needed to keep Arizona first. Mark Brnovich and Jim Lehman, on the other hand, will only let you down. Blake Masters has my complete and total endorsement.
I'm Blake Masters, and I approve this message. Sir?
Thank you.
That's running on TV, right?
That's on TV.
Perfect pronunciation throughout.
Well, you know, if Brnovich campaigned more, maybe he would get his name out and people would actually know how to say it. It's a complicated name.
So there's all these attacks. I don't need to go through all this stuff, but the media's afraid of you. They're big time afraid of you, Blake. They're not afraid of all these other candidates, but they are going all in against you. And there is this interesting line of attack where they say that you're a nightmare for democracy. Have you seen this one?
I've seen that headline, yeah.
Blake Masters is it Peter Thiel's dream candidate. I like the sound of that. And a total nightmare for democracy. By the way, you co-wrote a book with Peter Thiel.
I did.
So it's not some mystery that you're connected to Peter Thiel.
Pretty clear and obvious. Yeah.
But this is enough. So, I mean, they'll say, oh, you know, you're tied to these tech companies. Well, first of all, what is your stance on tech? Smash them into a million pieces and make them suffer?
Basically, that's a pretty good nutshell. Yeah. We got to break up big tech. We need to hold these companies accountable. I'm pretty sure Google and Facebook materially swung the election to Joe Biden. It's criminal. It's unforgivable. And we're going to put a stop to it.
Yeah. And so you have these major tech companies that, I mean, TikTok is just one in particular. Would you ban TikTok?
I think it should. Yeah. As long as it's a Chinese company, it should not be allowed to operate in the United States.
Just a direct answer. It's amazing. You know, I asked that of so many politicians. Well, look into it. And we have to form a committee. And we have to look. Yeah, we have to investigate it. Right.
I'm not sure my competitors know what TikTok is.
Well, they could find out. So let me ask you another. Let me go through some other pieces of tape here. By the way, we're getting some questions from our audience. freedom@charliekirk.com. That's freedom@charliekirk.com. I want to go to this one right here. Charlie, would you mind asking Blake Masters about what he'll do once elected to stop the Chinese from buying land and businesses in America? How does he see business interests in China, Tesla, and other major corporations reacting to the new Chinese laws? Will he try to bring American businesses back to the homeland, basically?
Yeah, I do think we need to be bringing businesses back, and kind of shame on us. There's this economic logic that says, yeah, you know, you have to always ship productive industrial capacity to whoever in the world can do it cheapest. And maybe that makes sense in an economics textbook, and it doesn't actually make sense in the real world. And so I think we need to reindustrialize and make stuff here in America again. But I think in terms of like what to do about, you know, Chinese ownership of land, farmland, houses, you just ban it. It's like China's a communist totalitarian dictatorship.
Just ban it. I just asked that out of a couple of senators.
Dude, if you're Chinese American, fantastic. You're as American as me or you. But if you were a Chinese national,
if you're a Chinese American with ties to the CCP, that should be separate.
Okay, well, yes. I agree. Then you got to like figure out what's going on.
Yes.
But if you're a Chinese national, You do not get to buy housing stock in America. Right. You don't get to buy businesses in America. You don't get to buy farmland. We're going to assume that you're just part and parcel of the Chinese Communist Party.
So big story out. Bill Gates owns farmland all across America, including in Arizona. What is it with these super rich people that are buying up our farmland?
I honestly don't know, but it freaks me the hell out. I'll tell you that, okay? That is something I want to investigate. It's like, what is Bill Gates' plan here? And I know he owns a whole bunch of land in Maricopa County.
25,750 acres in Arizona. He owns suspiciously 1 acre in New Mexico, which I can only assume is he bought Jeffrey Epstein's ranch from him. That's a joke, by the way.
Yeah, well, wouldn't put it past him.
It's only 1 acre, though. So there you go.
Yeah.
47,000 acres in Arkansas, 20,000 acres in Nebraska. And he just made a huge purchase in North Dakota, 69,000 acres in Louisiana. So something about this idea of the new right, Blake. But we're told that it's okay if billionaires want to own as much land as they want. What's wrong with that?
I trust Bill Gates about as far as I can throw him. Okay,
and considering like his gut,
and he's not a thin man anymore. No, I don't know what's going on. Like, I don't know. Do you have any theory?
But well, yeah, we've talked about it a lot here. I think Bill Gates wants to be able to own the industrial capacity in case there's a currency collapse. And it's the great investment as you try to debase an American-based currency. But part of the conservative movement typically is like, well, who am I to say that there's anything wrong with this? But we're saying, no, we want to live in a country, not a colony.
That's right.
And not in some sort of weird technocratic oligarchy, right?
That's right. No, too many conservatives just want to throw their hands up and say, we can never do anything. We can never possibly use state power to do anything. And that shades into libertarianism, you know, which, hey, in high school, I was a libertarian.
Oh, I massively indulged in that.
I get it. But like the progressives, they will use state power. They don't care about the rule of law or the Constitution. They will just crush you if you put up no resistance. Now, we actually do care about the rule of law and the Constitution and all of that. And so, yeah, when we use state power as conservatives, we'll be consistent.
We must be prudent,
with
too.
The rule of law. You got to be prudent. But man, it doesn't mean just bury your head in the sand and watch your country disappear.
Well, this is an important point, right? And I said this quickly earlier, which is we as conservatives, by default, don't love state power. We don't worship it. We don't yearn to use it.
Be skeptical of it. Absolutely.
We're very skeptical of it. And in fact, we have a heart's desire to go live in the America where virtue and justice and self-government reign. But when those things start to fall apart, do we just keep on repeating those talking points?
Right.
Or do we say there can be necessary, appropriate, hopefully local, not national interventions that can save the good, the true, and the beautiful? That's the difference between a new right conservative and a libertarian infected 1980s Republican.
That's right. Well said.
Where it says, okay, well, in the ideal, you know, we would love to have everyone govern themselves and all of that, right? But right now, we want to do something about the fact that 10-year-olds are having pills administered that make them chemically castrated.
Should be banned. It should be made illegal.
That requires
the state to
enforce
that.
That's right. But you want a small but strong government.
That's right.
As George Washington would say. And you have to be clear about what that government will do and not do. Individual liberties and rights must always be protected. Freedom of speech, Second Amendment, unquestioned, right? Fourth Amendment. When you have, though, these other power centers that are created, and this has kind of been the big enlightenment for me, companies are acting like the government,
right.
And we're supposed to be like, well, that's the market at work. Actually, I'm not going to put up with that. I'm not going to put up with Pfizer lying about vaccines. I'm not going to put up with Disney putting forth pedophilia to kids and put up with this nonsense infecting our society.
That's right.
I actually think it's appealing to most voters.
I do. And, you know, they might not know, you know, they don't use the term the new right. You know, I barely use the term the new right.
I love
it. Do you use it? Yeah. I mean, I don't shy away from it at all.
No, I lean into it. In fact, I might write a book called The New Right.
You should.
Yeah.
You should. Absolutely. But people are intrigued by this, right? It's this muscular conservatism. We're not just going to sit and take it anymore as we watch our society crumbling.
Yeah. And that's kind of the question, right? Which is, what do you do when things you care about start to crumble? Do you write press releases? Or write letters, or do you act?
Yeah. I run for office, you know?
There you go.
You build Turning Point. I mean, this is...
That's right. And you do something about it. Okay, so let's play some more tape here. By the way, it seems as if Representative Omar, and has AOC also been? AOC's pretending to be in handcuffs when she's escorted from the Supreme Court. But Ilhan Omar has been arrested or detained for protesting Roe versus Wade. You're unapologetically pro-life.
That's right.
And that's something that I think is very important. So But we're being, so I don't know, AOC fakes handcuffs being, fakes being handcuffed outside of Supreme Court. Yeah, that's great. Quite a photo op. Let's play a piece of tape here from some of the Roe versus Wade drama. How do you see that playing out here in Arizona?
I think the Democrats will try to gin up outrage about it. I predict that they'll try to run on abortion and how crazy, and they'll try to gin up outrage about, you know, school shootings and you know, but that's all they have. It's just they'll try to manufacture outrage. Actually, most people, when they actually understand what the Dobbs decision did, which is just send the issue back to the states, most people find that quite reasonable.
Yes.
And so we're not going to let the Democrats distract from their failures at the border and inflation. I actually just don't think it's going to be a huge issue.
Yeah, I agree with you completely. Let's play this piece of tape here. This is the Democrat message saying that there's a lot of good that comes from abortion. Play cut 56.
For some, abortion is liberation. There's a lot of good that comes from people's ability to access abortion, and I want to celebrate that.
Oof. You see, and the other one goes on to say that it's an act of love. That's what you have to look forward to at a U.S. Senate hearing.
Yeah, please let me question her, okay? It's just, this is crazy. It's crazy. And it's sad, right? And what happened, remember the Democrats lied? The Clinton line was safe, legal, and rare. And I don't think they meant it then. Now they're just unabashed. Like, they love killing babies.
Yeah, it's really...
It's...
What is your website so people can support you?
Yeah, it's very simple. BlakeMasters.com.
That's it. BlakeMasters.com. It says the Masters plan on here. And when you ran, you had like no name ID.
That's right.
Nothing, yeah. Right?
And people don't quite realize, like, it's actually pretty hard to get people to know who you are. And you got to do that first before they decide.
That's right.
Do I like this guy? Do I not like this guy?
And then you have to.
That's right.
Right?
That's right.
So you go to BlakeMasters.com, and I've known Blake for a while. He's going to just be phenomenal in the U.S. Senate. But he's got a huge challenge ahead. And you said Mark Kelly is $35 million?
I believe that's cash on hand right now, of course. He'll just raise more and more.
Through Act Blue synergies and all that nonsense,
that's right?
It's just right. Incredible. I just want to open it up for you. What's on your mind? What else do you want to convey to our audience about your race and why you're running and what's going on, how people can help you?
Yeah, I have a good, healthy, growing lead right now, but it's always awkward to be in first place. You know, everybody's just training their fire on me.
I know.
But you know what I'll say is we're sprinting to the finish line. I take nothing for granted. And we're going to run.
What percentage of people vote before Election Day in Arizona?
You know, I think we were thinking 30 or 40% of ballots would be in by now. And you never quite know what the final turnout is going to be until Election Day. But it seems like people are holding on to their ballots. People have not been turning them in quite as fast.
Do you
fast.
Think that's probably skepticism, though, of the mail-in balloting garbage?
I think so. I think a lot of people check, you know, the early vote, but then you hold on to the ballot and you go turn it in on Election Day because people mistrust the mail and all this. So. Unclear what the turnout's going to be, although we like the numbers. I'm just going to keep sprinting hard because you can't take it for granted.
Yeah, I know at least for my family here in Arizona, they've been lifelong Arizona voters, and they would typically just mail it in. They went through the research and the calling of where can I go drop my ballot off to mm-hmm. a human being? How do I know that it's going to be what, you know, can I do it on Election Day? Like,
yep.
They went through all this extra work,
yep.
And they're planning it into their schedule to go to the actual office to drop off because they're like, I'm not putting it into the mail anymore.
Right.
It's not going to happen.
Yeah. My parents, you know, they haven't gotten their ballots. They're not on the early list. They will go in person and vote just like the good old days.
So the race has been nationalized in more ways than one. Here's another question here, which is what would you do about Anthony Fauci?
I think he needs to be investigated, prosecuted, and jailed. You know, I mean, God bless Rand Paul.
Yeah, he's been phenomenal.
Rand Paul has gotten Fauci to perjure himself under oath.
Multiple times.
And so at least, you know, I expect, and you can't do it until you have the DOJ, really, in 2025. But I expect Fauci to be prosecuted and punished for the process crime of lying to Congress. Of course, no, I think when we take the Senate, we can investigate so much more. I want to know the substance. What did Fauci know about
yes.
eco-health funding and
Peter Daszak, right?
Engineered the coronavirus in Wuhan. I think that's not a conspiracy theory anymore. It's just what happened.
Well,
John Stewart admitted it, so now
yes,
we can say it.
That's right.
And he needs to, he probably just needs to be prosecuted for that. I think Fauci will see the inside of a prison cell this decade.
And senators can help make that happen.
Absolutely.
Through oversight.
Tremendous investigatory power, subpoena power. You can referral criminal indictments to the DOJ.
Yeah, I want everyone to understand this because some people say, oh, Charlie, what does one senator, you know, matter? Well, imagine you have J.D. Vance. You got Rand Paul. You got Josh Hawley. You got Blake Masters.
Yes.
And on certain issues, you got Ted Cruz.
Mm-hmm.
right? You got some other allies that are emerging. We just had Marsha Blackburn, who's right there. I mean, you're talking about a whole conference
pretty soon,
not one or two renegades, right?
That's right. You get a few of us.
Mike Lee's been good on this issue,
and yeah, everyone you mentioned is you know very strong. Unfortunately, you can't keep going. There's not 20 of these people, so we have you know maybe 10.
But
it starts there.
But then it also can sway other people
that see
which way the wind is going.
That's
right. Like Lindsey Graham and Willard Romney and all these people, they're a waste of rations, right? But you can. There's people in the middle that are like, oh, I don't want to get primaried. Well, they're getting all the attention.
That's right.
Right?
And you got to think, like, when JD and I win, well, we're going to inspire more people like us. Right?
Yes.
More people from the Turning Point Network to run for office and win in 2024.
Well, there's some rumblings about Missouri, too. I haven't endorsed there, but people say Greitens is pretty outspoken on this stuff. I don't know. I haven't been following that race.
He's running a super bold campaign.
Yeah.
And absolutely.
He seems to be winning
and
from
voters
it, right?
Like boldness. They like honesty,
yes.
Authenticity.
Yes.
And that's what the younger generation is bringing to conservative politics.
Yeah. And so, I mean, you start to see enough of this. All of a sudden, you don't just have two senators like Rand Paul's the only one questioning Fauci. You have an entire metaphorical like firing line,
yep.
Right? You know, I mean, that obviously is a questioning line. One after the other, after the other, after the other, other. That's where you really start to get change, right? Yep. Because then people say, well, Charlie, how do you impeach? How do you this? Well, you have investigative power. You have subpoena power. You have all this different sort of stuff.
That's right. And look, you know, it's going to be frustrating to have Biden in the White House. You know, some people say, well, what are you going to do about the border? And some of my opponents say, well, as soon as we take the House and Senate, we will pass a great piece of border legislation. And it's like, yeah, fantastic. We should. But like Biden's not going to sign that. So it'll be frustrating. But we also use the 2 years to prepare for January 2025.
Yes. Well, we also, I mean, this is not what you're running for, but the next governor of Arizona should secure the border independent of the federal government.
Absolutely. I'll do everything I can to help.
Yes.
But man, if the feds aren't doing it, you can cry about Biden's dereliction of duty till you're blue in the face. He's not going to secure the border.
That's exactly
right. I want to see more from the state officials.
BlakeMasters.com. You could see why we're behind him, everybody. There's no nonsense. It's no kind of like consultant talking points. He doesn't walk in with like a whole platoon of people wearing suits with a bunch of binders. You should have seen some of this stuff. It's crazy I've seen. He's like, I'm running for office. This is why he's winning. It's why Trump endorsed him. It's why we endorsed him. He's young. He's got 3 kids. He's a Christian. He loves the country. Anti-globalism, pro-America. Let's get him across the finish line here in Arizona. Help him out if you can. BlakeMasters.com. And when he's a senator, you're going to remember this interview. Like, wow, Charlie went all in for a reason. Just like I told you with JD. Okay, Blake, thanks so much.
Always a pleasure. Thanks, Charlie.
Thank you. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. Email me your thoughts. As always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening. God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.